In our congregation out here in Washington, a lady arrived one Sunday morning whose husband was in the military, and she was very much into clown ministry. She was a very live wire person, and she really got the kids very involved in clown ministry. And I just kind of participated with her. I supported her and helped with some of the things that she did. She was only in our congregation for a year, but she did, you know, two or three different things that we were involved in, and it gave me just a little taste of clown ministry. And also, at a summer conference, I took a course in clowning, where I had the experience of learning a little bit about makeup, a little bit about the clown attitude, and so on. And so I want to share with you what I do know, what I do have, what I have done in clowning myself, and to encourage you, if you have an interest, to go ahead and do something more with it. To start off, I have these very lovely, good-looking pictures here of two people. Now, if you are involved in clown ministry, you would probably want to know a little bit about how to create yourself as a clown, or to create the people that you're working with. And one of the things that you can do is make up a sheet like this and have them design for themselves a face. Or you design it for yourself. What type of face do you want? And there are lots of possibilities. As you can see, the possibility is a sad face or a happy face. There are usually some strong lines around the eyes. If you wear glasses, you have to be a little careful that the lines go beyond your glasses. Usually the nose is a central area. You may want a little red dot on your nose. You may want to do your whole nose in red. Or you can be very, very creative with this. Christian clowns often have a cross on their cheek, on their forehead, or a heart that's fairly prominent. Some clowns, sad clowns, might have a tear that is central, coming down from their eye. You really need to, if you are going to go into clowning, to develop your own clown personality, your own clown image, and follow through with that with your dress. Your clothing, of course, is always wild and outlandish. And everything you do in clowning is to an extreme. And so when you're working with clowning, you always want to direct it in the extreme. The gestures, a normal gesture, and you know, in chancel drama, as you realize, our gestures are not small gestures, but they are large. But in clowning, they are magnificent. See, all of your gestures are big. Your features that you make are big. And you probably need to do some experimenting with makeup and so on in order to create your own face, because you'll find that the first time you do it, you probably tend to overdo, to put too much on your face, and it kind of runs together. You have a hard time controlling what you're doing, so you probably need to experiment a little bit if you go into clowning. Now, I have a bunch of freebies today, and I'm going to pass these out and let you keep them, because anybody who isn't here for this session probably isn't interested in clowning. So I'm not going to hand them out on Friday. Friday is freebie day when I'm handing out chancel drama scripts and so on. But anyway, do take a copy of this, and if you're interested. Now, if you're not interested, just put it back here if you're not interested in a more permanent way. Now, this talks about a basic clown makeup kit. It talks about some of the things you might need. It talks about materials, grease paint, liner stick, black pencil, Maybelline, baby powder, cold cream, a mirror, a white sock. The white sock, you have to keep powdering your face when you put the makeup on, and that causes it to hold. It keeps them from smearing or streaking. It also sets it very tight, so you cannot wash it off with water. You need to wash it off only with cold cream. Now, I am no great authority on how to do clown makeup, and therefore, if you are interested in getting into this, I have for you some source materials which would help you to find out where you could get material on clowning. Okay, these are two different sheets, so take both of them. Okay. Now, these sheets, again, notice that this information is out of the Contemporary Drama Service book. There are two different people featured on these. The one sheet has a number of books and information from Janet Litherland. I am not real familiar with her, but apparently she has done quite a bit with clown ministry. The one that I am more familiar with is the other sheet that shows material that is, primarily comes from Floyd Schaefer. Floyd Schaefer is a Lutheran, and he has, if any of you have seen any type of clowning in the church, have any of you seen anything done in the church in clowning?
I've done clowning for about 5 years.
Okay, and you, Laura, have?
Yes.
Are you familiar with Floyd Schaefer, with that name? Most everyone who does any clowning is familiar with Floyd Schaefer. He's kind of the guru of clowning in the Lutheran Church. He is a Lutheran minister. His material is also obtainable through Augsburg Publishing Company. And I was going to copy a page off of Augsburg, but the catalog I had only had one or two things listed, and I know he has more things there. So I thought, well, you get a little better idea of what he has available through here, but you'll also see that name in the Augsburg Publishing Company books. Anyway, as far as you can see, that you can get information on how to create your face and all of those things through some of this material. So, if you're interested, by all means, look over some of the catalog material and get one of the books that would help you to be a little better informed on this. All right. I'm going to give out one script here. One that I have done myself, and it's a very short one. I've done it twice, once with a women's guild group. They were having a Christmas luncheon or something, and they had this as a little entertainment. And I've done it also with teenagers as far as a presentation during Sunday school. And it's called Repeat the Sounding Joy. The little girl, the parable of the little girl who wouldn't smile. All right. Now, we're going to walk through this a little bit, just for fun, so you get the idea of how this works. All right. I am going to be the clown. Let's see. You're going to be the little girl who wouldn't smile. What else do I have here? Here, Lucille, you can be the choir director.
Oh, okay.
And you can lead us in a wonderful Christmas song. You can be the doctor. Remember, you have an imaginary stethoscope.
Okay.
Okay. And let's see, Laura, you're going to be everybody else we need, all right? Okay. Why don't you be narrator? I tell you what, and we'll have the other people just come up. You read the narration part. You could just stay where you are and read the narration part. Now, I'm going to become the clown here very quickly. Tell me if I'm wonderful. Am I getting anything on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all I'm trying to do here is just kind of give a little inkling of what, you know, to give you the feel for the clown. Remind me not to leave like this, will you? What?
No, let's not.
Nothing.
Oh. What? What? Watch it. Don't get smart in here.
Not allowed in class.
No clowning around allowed. All right. Little girl, you are going to come up here. You are not going to smile. Okay? All right, why don't we just sit here in the front and we'll be ready to go. All right, Laura, you start reading.
Once there was a girl who wouldn't smile. She sat on a stool and looked quite sad all the time. People around her remained sad just by being around her. Her sadness was contagious. Her parents tried everything to make her happy, but she never smiled, no, not once. When Christmas came, people tried to make her smile by bringing her gifts.
All right, so, now stop. When you come to a... All right, we're going to bring her gifts. Whenever you come to directions, I want you to stop, all right? There's no directions where I stopped you, but anyway, when you do come to directions, you stop and let the action take place.
Okay.
All right, so we'll all come and bring her gifts. So you go and take her gift. Read.
This will make her smile for sure.
All right, so they each go up and they offer her a gift and she's not smiling, we go away disgusted.
Even the fine gifts were not enough. Soon a doctor was called in to examine the girl to see if something was wrong with her physically.
Go examine. All right, now doctor, you have a few lines.
She has a heart. She has a funny bone as well. And her face is capable of a smile. I think this girl is sad.
And that is all she said. I think this girl is sad. And a good woman of science she was, for that described the girl perfectly. Why, a group of carolers came and caroled just for her one winter's night.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let her receive her King.
But even then, she could not, or would not, smile. One day, there came her way a clown with quite some talent for making people smile. He danced around her with a flurry. He did a trick. He even tickled her a bit. But she would not smile. He wondered what to do. He'd try again. And he pulled the girl down off her stool and danced with her. But nothing happened. Nothing at all. The girl was limp in his arms, and the farthest thing from her face was a smile. The little girl went and took her place again. And there she sat. She did not smile. Then the clown, who was very wise, went off alone. Not so far off, however, that the girl could not see him. From the corner of her eye, she watched him. Crying very hard. Suddenly, the girl stepped down from her stool, and to everyone's surprise, sat beside the clown, who cried and cried and cried. And then and there, beside him, with her arm around the very sad clown, she smiled the brightest and best of smiles you'd ever want to see. And the very wise clown smiled too. Now, if you're wondering what makes the story one best to tell at Christmas, it's this. Just maybe, like the little girl, our Lord in heaven was very sad until he saw that he could give himself and make things better. For God so loved the world that he gave. The greatest joy is in giving, you see, at Christmas and for all one's life. Christmas tells us that God's greatest smile came when he could love us and give us Jesus. For most like God will give, and so we'll be the happiest just then. Christmas smiles come best from giving love.
Okay, now, you know, at that ending there, you have to get into freeze position because you can't keep smiling at each other. But on the ending, you know, then you kind of go into freeze position. Probably the other two people would be back in their seats by the time that, you know, the ending would come. And
unless you'd end with everybody doing a song.
When you're done with the carolers, you would, you know, be seated again. Your carolers would go back. But what do you think?
Yeah, that's a good clown message.
All right. Okay. You may leave all your equipment back here. And so that is just one thing that could be done. And of course, you realize we're using minimum props right here, but you could get a stethoscope and you could, you know, would get a few additional props here to add to it. My white napkin doesn't quite make it with the big handkerchief, but you would get a big man's. I couldn't find my husband's handkerchief. But anyway, so you kind of get the idea how that could be worked out. Okay. Now, I am going to talk a little bit, and we'll go through a couple more scripts here, but I want to talk a little bit about a clowning service, a full service of clowning. And with this Fran Espy, who was our clown lady at our church, she did a full clown service. She had trained the teenagers to be her clowns, and she did a full clown service with the kids. Now, what she did was start out with a preparation sign, which I have here. With a preparation sign. Now, what she did, and I'll just sort of go through her service so that you have an idea of what can be done with a clown service, is she came up front and she brought all of her makeup equipment with her to the altar. And she set it out with her mirror behind the altar. And she talked to the congregation and she told them what she was going to do. That she introduced herself, "My name is Fran Espy, and I'm going to help you to worship God today with the clowns for Christ." And let's see, I need to, before I do this, I need to pass out a sheet to you. This sheet has two sections to it. We're going to look at this part first, which is the outline of the clown service, so that you can follow that. This has the outline of the clown service, so you can follow it, the parts to it. And it also has the basis for clowning in the church, which comes from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 21 to 29, and I encourage you to look that up when you get home and see. It's talking about making yourself a fool for Christ. And that is the theme of the clown service. Here. Okay? All right. The other half of this sheet
which maybe you'll want to read when you get home or get back to your cabin or Shelley, is our own pastor's reaction the following day to the clown service, which I think might be very interesting to you. He is a person who is fairly formal, but he is quite open to dramatic presentations. I don't think he was completely sold on the clown service, but this was his thought. These were his thoughts when he returned the next day and was writing the newsletter. And I think it's kind of interesting to see what his ideas were. But now let's look at the outline of the service of the clowns. Now this order of service, of course, could be varied, and I see already that what I'm doing is a little variation on it. They had a prelude, Happiness is the Lord. For the offertory, they had Send in the Clowns. And so you'd need a pianist, if you can, someone who is, I think, a pianist rather than an organist. Organ music doesn't really go with clowning. And someone who can play it with a real beat, so that you have kind of a fun person there who's playing the organ. All right, preparation, as I was talking about. The preparation, Fran, first of all, came up and introduced herself. My name is Fran Espy, and we are going to worship together in clown service. And I am going to become someone else. I am going to become a clown. And as long as I am the clown, I can speak to you. But once I become the clown, once I put on my face and put on my clothing, I will no longer be Fran Espy, but I will be, I forget the name that she took, but she had a very happy name that she took as being the clown. And from that time on, I will be the clown and I will not speak. And so she gave us some direction and some instruction in advance. And then she went behind the altar and she put on her makeup. She had a mirror, she had all her makeup spread out there on the altar, and she put on her makeup, showing the people how she made herself up. Now this was fairly time consuming, maybe took 10 minutes for her to do that. And then when she was done with that, she put on her wig, which was a very multicolored wig, purples and oranges and reds and all kinds of colors, and put on some very floppy pants over what she had on, and put on a crazy shirt, and put on her gloves, and from the time the gloves went on, she was the clown. And then the other clowns came in and joined her. Now that was her act of preparation, following a liturgical pattern. Next was the invocation. For the invocation, she called in her clowns, the teenagers who were participating with her. And they came in with three big boxes. And you'll notice on your sheet, it talks about the invocation. 1, 3, 3, 1, etc. All right, they came in with three boxes. And they were trying to set them up in front of the altar, making very large gestures, you know, to set this up. And they couldn't get the three boxes to line up right. They were large boxes, you know, about each one about so high, so that they stacked up about like this. And when they finally then, after making very elaborate changes and stepping back and looking at them and trying to get them straight again and changing them and walking back and looking at them, the boxes finally lined up. So one side of the boxes had a 1, number 1. The other side had a 3. And one side said Trinity, the other one said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So in other words, liturgically invoking the blessing of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay? Next came the confession and absolution. And that, I thought, was one of the most impressive things that she did. And I'm going to try to do this a little bit with you today. I'm going to call each one of you up here separately, and you're going to help me with this. Okay?
Now, one of the clowns came in from the back with this gunny sack. I couldn't find a gunny sack, but did the best we could. I'm going to ask one of you to come up. Lucille, why don't you come up? No, it's okay. So one of them came.
For those of you that are listening on the tape, we are acting out the various sins. So far we have acted out hate and greed, and each of the clowns has come up and acted out in mime their feelings. They each have taken a brick out of the bag that was carried in and are acting out in mime the thing that they are doing there.
All right. What do you think? Is this effective? All right. The bricks would be wider. These are half bricks. The bricks would normally be wider, and then they could be placed in a pyramid form. There, you know, there are a couple more. You probably wouldn't want to do too many. And normally, you would have, this is very heavy, you would have a kind of a flimsy cross that would be probably a little homemade cross that you would put on top. But the idea of receiving absolution, forgiveness for your sins. And the way she did it was her bag then turned inside out. And once it was turned inside out, it had embroidered or stitched or something on it, God's love. So then when she left with the empty bag, it showed God's love on the outside of the bag. So that was quite effective. All right. Remainder then was praise, and one of their things of praise, they picked a lively song, and the clowns had their kazoos.
You have to hum.
Okay. Is that it? Am I at the right end? There we go. Okay, you can see I've practiced long on that. Okay, and so the clowns played the kazoos with the congregation singing a very lively song. And so that made that kind of fun. Next was sermon. And to take a break here, I will pass out a sermon that we did use, or was used, for the one clown service that I saw. And we can just glance through this a little bit. If you're interested in keeping it fine, otherwise I'll turn it back in. We'll just read a little bit of it. And this would have to, this would require the pastor's participation. This is a dialogue between the pastor and the clown. And the pastor would pretty much be up in the pulpit. And so the clown would respond to that. Okay, let's see. Why don't you be the... I'm blanking on your name.
Jean,
of course. All right, Jean, why don't you be the pastor? And Laura, would you just read the clown lines? Okay. But the pastor would be getting ready to start his sermon, and the clown comes forward and starts a dialogue with the pastor, okay? We'll just go through a little bit of this to get the idea.
Today I'd like to talk to you about what it means to worship God.
Hold it! Sorry I'm late. Let's see, where's a good place to sit? Oh, there are plenty of good seats up here in front. Why are they all sitting back there? There are plenty of good seats up here in front. Oh well,
about what it means to worship.
Go right ahead. You've got the floor. You talk about anything you want to. We won't stop him, will we? You go right ahead.
Thank you.
Don't thank me. They gave you the pulpit, not me. They're paying the bill. If it had been up to me, I'd have preferred a movie or a play or something with a little more zip to it. But they asked you, so you go right ahead.
I will.
I thought you would.
Today we are going to consider what it means to worship God. For true worship is more than just gathering here in these beautiful surroundings and...
Say, this place is pretty nice. Who owns this place anyway? Is that why you're standing up there? I noticed that your name was on the sign out front.
No, of course not.
Then they own this place, right? Which one of you picked this color for the carpet?
No, it's sort of is their place, but not exactly.
Who paid for it?
Well, we did.
Then you must own it.
No, you can't own a church.
I bet if they pay for it, they'd think they own it. Right, out there. Just try upsetting some of them and you'll find out who owns this place. There'll be a new face looking down from up there.
This is God's house. This is His church.
Oh, God runs this place. Have we been invited?
Yes, of course. We are here to worship Him.
Worship Him. What does that mean?
I'm glad you asked that. Now if you will sit down, I will continue with the sermon I intended to preach and tell you what that means.
Okay.
To worship, in the words of the Westminster Confession, means to glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
You've got to be kidding. What a laugh. Enjoy Him? Look at that crowd out there. Do they look like they are enjoying anything? Man, look at those faces. If that's enjoying yourself, I'd say you people have an odd way of having a good time. Why, you should have heard your singing a few minutes ago.
Praise
God from whom all blessings fall. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise God from the Lord.
Why, I've heard more joy than that at a wake.
Perhaps if you showed a bit more dignity and reverence, you might have gotten more out of it.
Dignity? Good Lord, you sure got dignity. I agree with that. If God likes stiffness and dullness and... D-I-G-N-I-T-Y. I bet He loves this. But how about this? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with timbrel and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with loud flashing cymbals. Let everything that praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
All right, now that would be really lively, you see, and the clown would probably be dancing around in the chancel, you know. When I saw this done, they had the clown come in with the Bible in her hand. And she had sort of cheat notes in there because they hadn't had a whole lot of time to practice it. Because the pastor, of course, can have little cheat notes up in the pulpit because that's where he is. And so she had a few little cheat notes in her Bible to help her along. And then, of course, this reading, she could read it from a cheat note very easily out of the Bible. So anyway, do you kind of get the idea of how that could be done in a dialogue with the pastor? But of course you'd have to have a pastor that would be willing to work with something like this. And it would take practice. It's not something that he can say, well, you know, we'll just do it and you work it out and I'll participate. You'd have to actually have practice sessions with him where he is responding. I'm getting a response over here on this. What are you looking at?
Oh, he was going to throw her out and...
Let's say what page you're on and we'll read.
Oh, the
we'll continue.
Of the second page, just a little further on.
Okay, well, let's continue then.
Maybe you would like to leave. You'd be happier someplace else. And maybe I should call the ushers and have them take you. And she says, oh, not so fast, can't do that. And why not? This is my church. I'm in charge here. Oh, well, maybe you can. I thought you said before this place belonged to God. Well, yes, but, oh, you're just the bouncer here, right?
You're the bouncer.
Yeah.
All right, so there's some pretty good parts to this. And this would, of course, be the sermon. Could very easily be the sermon in the clown service.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be done as a separate unit all its own and be just in a service.
It doesn't have to be the pastor being the pastor either. It could be a clown or a member of the church, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, it could be someone who would come up and maybe doing the lay reading, have somebody come up like they're going to do the lay reader.
or do a special presentation in church? And then who would be an elder or somebody who would be fairly well known in the congregation? And then the clown could interact with that person too, if the pastor felt uncomfortable with it. But it would be neat with the pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My pastor came and found this worship and gave it to me. And I looked at it and I said, yeah, hey, this would be neat. You and I could do that. And he, well, I was thinking of someone else.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So anyway, that is a possibility for the sermon.
But you don't have to have that type of sermon if you were doing a clown service. You could have, there are other options, other types of things that could be done. It could be a narrative. Let's see, write your own sermon. Here are some suggestions. Write your own sermon according to the service's theme or scripture, or have a narrative type sermon that could be given. For the offering, and then I'm still more or less following that little schedule that you have there. But they have the offering at the very beginning. I don't know why they did that, but they did in at that particular service. But if you had the offering in the regular place, you could have the clowns take their hats and use their hats as collection baskets. That's one way you can handle it. And then, of course, the clowns would be the ushers. You could have, but another thing that they have done that's been effective is instead of collecting things, collecting money from people, is they give away. They have giveaways. Instead of collecting, they share, they give. You know, candy, like a little piece of candy or any small item that could be given to people. So instead of collecting, it's giving and sharing, which is another way of dealing with that. The benediction. At the benediction, and I haven't done much with my clock, with my balloons here, but in the benediction, balloons come in from outside and the blessing is given, and then I've seen it done this way where balloons have been passed out then to every member of the congregation. You know, people of course are assisting from behind, but the clowns come out, and then as everybody leaves their pew, they're given a balloon to take out with them, like this, and they get passed out. I've also seen it done where they have, in the benediction, as part of the benediction, they have taken like a little lipstick, a small lipstick, and they pass the lipstick from person to person, and each person puts a little red dot on the cheek of the next person, just a little tiny dot, as though it's the mark of the Savior. It's the mark of the Savior. And one of the things I forgot to mention also is, as part of the offering, the idea of, you know, the collection with the hat, or also passing out something. I've also seen it done where they've had the hat filled with nails, and each person is given a nail, and they reach over and they prick the hand of the person next to them as sort of a sacrificial offering, symbolic of the crucifixion of Christ. So those are a few ideas. But this was a, you know, very interesting thing that we did. I have a few more scripts here, and we'll probably have time just to read through one. They're both short. And these are things that you could do if you just wanted to do a small thing in clowning. There's one on each side of the sheet. Would you rather we read the lost son or the lost sheep? All in favor of the lost son, raise your hand. All in favor of the lost sheep, raise your hand.
care. All you wishy-washy people are in trouble. Want to vote again? How many for the lost son? How many for the lost sheep? Okay, we're going for sheep. Let's take a look at it. This continues straight on down to the bottom. It was on two different sheets, so it looks like there's a separation, but there's not really. Okay, I'll be the narrator. And let's just go around, each person read one line, okay? You know, starting with, and to tell the story. One day when many tax collectors and others who did bad things came to listen to Jesus, the priests and teachers of the law began to get angry. "This man welcomes these bad people and even eats with them," they said. And so Jesus told them this story or parable to teach the priests and the teachers a lesson.
"And to tell this story, I have asked some of my friends to help."
The clowns enter. Lucille?
"Once there were two shepherds who were bringing their sheep home for the night."
There's a pause, and the clowns bring the children from the audience up the center aisle to the altar.
"As they were bedding their sheep down through the night, they began to count them to make sure that they were all there."
There's a pause, and the clowns count three sheep, and both of the clowns fall asleep.
"And you know what usually happens when you start counting sheep."
There's a pause, and then the clowns awaken. They pause, and the clowns count again, and they discover one sheep is missing.
"There was one little sheep missing."
The clowns then get out a chalkboard and count with the chalkboard.
They checked again. There was still one missing, and they double-checked.
There's a pause, and the clowns use adding machines and calculators.
"But there was still one little lamb missing. I'll just walk to search for the one that was lost."
There's a pause, and the clowns run through the congregation.
"They search."
There's a pause.
"And they search."
And another pause.
"And they look everywhere."
And there's a pause as the clowns meet in the front of the pews and hear their lost sheep. And then they return. Then there's a pause as the clowns hug each other, and they hug the sheep.
"And they carried their lost sheep back to their home and were very happy."
There's a pause as the clowns carry the little sheep up to the altar. And then they call their friends and neighbors to tell them. They get out a phone book and a telephone. "We are so happy we have found our lost sheep. Let us celebrate and give thanks to God, for they were happier over this one sheep than over all the others that did not get lost." Jesus then said to the priests and teachers, "In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who is lost and then changes his ways than over the whole flock of good people who do not need to change their ways." Amen and amen. When could you do this?
Anytime.
In a
children
church?
Would love it.
Children would love it. It would be great in a children's service or as a children's summer sermon.
Mother-daughter banquet.
Mother-daughter banquet. Okay, and the lost son is also one similar to that. And the last one I have here is From the Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. And all right, why don't we just read the beginning of this? I don't think we'll read all the way through because our time is up. Let's just read it the way we did before. Why don't you start again reading the narrator's part?
"Long ago, Jesus often told stories or parables to help him in his teaching. When he spoke with farmers, he talked about crops. When he talked with shepherds, he spoke of sheep. Today, he might speak to us about the parable of the skyscraper, the freeway, the rocket, the football game, or the balloon. Or yes, even of the clown. Today, we are going to present a modern-day parable. This story was written by Shel Silverstein and is entitled The Giving Tree. And to help me tell this story, here they are, our two friends.
All right, pause. Notice each pause, they allow time for the people to move around, okay? Two clowns enter the stage.
Once there was a tree.
And the tree clown grows and spreads branches.
And she loves little boys, and every day the boy would come.
And the boy clown skips to the tree.
And he would swing from the tree's branches.
The clown mimes swinging in branches of the tree clown.
And the tree bears fruit.
And the tree clown drops apples tied and hidden in hands.
And the boy ate the apples.
And the boy clown picks up one apple and pretends to eat it.
And they would play hide and go seek.
And the boy clown hides around the pulpit or the audience, and the tree clown covers eyes and points to the boy, who becomes disgusted.
And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade.
All right. I want to stop there because our time is up and we need to get out of the, vacate the room here. But I think maybe with a little material, if you're interested in keeping any of that material, you're welcome to it. And maybe this, just a little of this information will help you to try to do a little bit more, or to try some things if you've not tried them using clowning.